Life is a journey. What's your story? Radio St. Pete.com Insider is hosting its first podcast, The Inquisitive Tongue, with cocktailing coffee curator Jared Sabatini of Intermezzo. Welcome.
Thank you. Happy to be here.
Tell us a little bit about how you started Intermezzo. And I know that you are a USF grad, born and raised here. So how does a hometown boy get so involved with so many international flavors?
Well, I've been here for like 10 years, but I grew up in Central Florida, technically. But yeah, I went to USF St. Pete. And how did I open Intermezzo? I went to school for marketing. And while I was in school, I worked in hospitality. I grew up in hospitality. My family's owned restaurants. And, you know, I had my first job when I was probably 12, 13 years old, bussing tables there. And so when I was in school, I worked, my first job in St. Pete was actually working at Mandarin Hyde. And I was just like at the door. I was like a door guy and met a lot of people there, good people. And then when I was outside of school and outside of work, I was learning about coffee. I took an interest in wine. I took an interest in cocktails. This was like sort of during like when the cocktail renaissance was really taking off in New York and bigger cities, and you started to see cocktail bars come in other cities like Mandarin Hyde, for example, and St. Pete. And so I started, you know, taking a big interest in that. I took a job at Local Market when it opened at the restaurant upstairs. I was their first bartender hired, and it was just beer and wine at the time. And so I took it upon myself to take my, you know, first level sommelier course and learn about wine so that I knew what I was talking about behind the bar. And they had such good people there. I learned a ton from them. But started getting into coffee. And then once I get out of college, I open up Intermezzo kind of as a pop-up. And then, you know, here we are 7.5 years later.
You know, what I love about Intermezzo is in the original days, it was coffee by day, cocktails at night, pop-up oyster bar, a DJ spinning the tune. You walk through the doors in this really pristine, white, serene space. There's always something going on.
Yeah.
Always. Now, your cocktail list, we're going to talk a little bit about what's trending, but you make all your bitters and all your potions and lotions. Tell us a little bit about that particular process.
Yeah, we try to make everything. We're like essentially a scratch kitchen if we were a restaurant. So we try to make everything in-house. We don't bring in flavored liquors, right? You're not going to find like, you know, peanut butter whiskey or something like that unless we're making it. So, you know, we make everything in-house. We have made bitters we don't typically make because there's the cocktail, you know, like where we're at today versus 20 years ago or even 10 years ago, there's so much good stuff out there now that you can buy. So bitters is one of those things that it's like, why, you know, unless there's a really specific flavor you're looking for. But yeah, all the syrups we make in-house, we have, you know, someone doing prep like around the clock essentially. We do infusions. We have like a dried mango gin right now. We have, you know, homemade matcha cordial. We have a sous vide cantaloupe and shiso cordial on the menu right now. So yeah, we have a lot of stuff.
So it seems to me when I look at your cocktail menu from what you just said that international flavors are really, really trending. I noticed you had a Thai gimlet. Mm-hmm. It was classic using coconut oil, fat wash gin, white rum, basil eau de vie, macroot lime leaf, fresh lime, and Thai bitters.
Mm-hmm.
Talk to me a little bit about the international flair. I could travel around the world on your cocktail menu.
Yeah, that is a good point. I haven't looked at it quite like that, but basically a lot of the drinks we come up with can be based off of, for me personally, what I'll either take a plate like that you might find at a restaurant, like a typical dish, or a cocktail might come from a specific kind of frame of mind. So for example, the Thai gimlet was really inspired by the coconut and basil kind of balance that you might find in a lot of Thai dishes, right? Like pho or anything like that. So it's pretty common, that flavor profile. So we took, that's actually a cocktail that I came up with. So, you know, coconut oil, we fat washed it with gin. We split based that cocktail with a little bit of white rum, just to give it a little bit more of that coconut and tropical note. Basil eau de vie. This cocktail actually started with that basil eau de vie, this basil liqueur that I tasted, and I was like, this is incredible. We have to make a drink with it. So that's kind of how I worked backwards from that. And then, the macroot lime. always wanted to use that. We find that at a local, you know, Asian market, Dong A market, that we have to go there specifically just for that. And then, yeah, fresh lime and Thai bitters. It's shaken, served up, really refreshing, tropical, kind of slight coconut flavor, but it's not really a coconut forward cocktail. But I love that drink.
So, you know, when you say maybe there's a dish, I noticed that you also have a parfait cocktail with Bacardi Ocho Rum, aged cachaca, banana lime, pineapple amaro, which is an Italian liqueur, right?
Yeah, traditionally amaro is. Right. That one doesn't come from there, but yeah.
Granola dust. That just amazes me. Mm-hmm. Milk clarified with strawberry yogurt. So that one must have been you must have been to Dairy Queen or something. No, just kidding.
Yeah.
But you were. It's a dessert.
Concept. Yeah, yeah. The idea was like kind of make it inspired by dessert or even really breakfast, right? So it kind of started with, you know, taking the strawberry, taking the cachaca, taking, you know, the flavors of that, and then we're like, well, this kind of sounds like a parfait. It sounds like what you would eat. And then the granola dust came from that as well. So we just take a good, you know, granola, we blend it into a dust, and then we dust the side of the glass with it. So you get like, you know, you put that on your lips and you take a sip of the drink and you get a strawberry flavor. We milk clarify it with yogurt instead of regular milk. So you get this like yogurty kind of flavor, but you don't get the weight or the dairy or anything like that. But yeah, that's another one that's milk clarified. So it's stable. It's almost perfectly clear. And then we serve it on a big cube with the dust on the glass.
Well, you know, I think of you as a mad scientist from Back to the Future, but with cocktails. So yeah. Let's talk a little bit about bitters. So, of course, Angostura bitters, we all know this. Bitters are the new hot thing. I see that you use a Kochi Americano, right? Is that right? And then can you say that? It's Mexican mole bitters.
Yeah. Gosh, if I were even trying to pronounce it, I looked it up one time, and it's basically like chocolate, essentially, right? The X is like a – yeah, exactly. I think you actually nailed it. But yeah, so in the elote, we use those like mole chocolate bitters. Yeah, it's funny. You said it's like the new thing. It's almost like these things, they go and they come back, right? So like in the beginning, like 20 years ago, 25 years ago, bitters were really popular. And they kind of got away from them. I've always loved them, and I always find like they're like salt in a dish, like it's like seasoning in a cocktail, and it can be the one thing that you add in a cocktail that just gives it that X factor that makes it a little bit different. So so with that cocktail, obviously, you know, elote, we wanted to do – I got obsessed for some reason with corn, like putting corn in a drink, and I did like corn syrup. I made corn milk. I did cornflake infused this. Like I literally had 40 different corn items, and then we kind of like simplified it, so it's not super corn forward, but it's basically brown butter fat washed bourbon, and then a little bit of reposado tequila, a corn liqueur called Nixta that's phenomenal, a touch of sugar, and then the chocolate mole bitters stirred, served on a really beautiful ice cube. So
Asian global flavors really populate when you look at Imbibe and Punch, it's all the rage. And one of the things that really I was amazed by that you have is Suntory Toki Japanese whiskey, one of my favorites, done with cantaloupe and shisa leaf cordial and soda. You've got a lot of Asian influence on this new menu.
Yeah. Yeah, I think that's, you know, you mentioned trends. I think that's a big trend right now in cocktails. There's a lot of bartenders that are reaching for those ingredients or just even craving that food. And you're seeing a lot of restaurants pop up with those flavors as well. But, yeah, that highball is one that our bar manager, Michael, kind of started creating. And we worked on it together and just, like, wanted to highlight, like, a summer highball but do a twist on the Japanese highball. So, yeah, we take fresh cantaloupe. We take fresh shiso leaf, some citric acid, sugar, some other things. We put it in a bag. We sous vide it over very low heat so that cantaloupe retains its, like, freshness, and then strain it, and then put that in a highball over like a big clear cube. It's phenomenal.
You keep talking about the big clear cube, and one of my favorite things. So ice is king in the cocktail world. Tell us about your ice.
Yeah, well, we work with Doggery, a local craft ice maker, and we get it delivered, you know, every week. And so we have, like, I think like three or four different types of ice. But yeah, it's not only is it functional because there's a larger surface area, so the drink doesn't melt as fast and you can enjoy it better, but also it's beautiful, right? And so you get these like perfectly, you know, clear cubes, and they're gorgeous, and so it adds value to someone who's drinking that drink. But yeah, ice is you know, but I don't even think it's negotiable anymore. You kind of have to have really good quality ice. So,
you know, you're just mirroring Los Angeles and New York. So, you know, everybody else talks about the espresso martini. You see it everywhere. The espresso martini, not Jared. Jared has coffee cocktails, a Branca brew, a Carajillo, a Cafe Mezzo, a Cafe Mexicana, and a coffee colada. Let me just tell you, the Carajillo, the liqueur, 43 vanilla liqueur, the house espresso, which is coffee, we're going to talk your coffee, mm-hmm. shaken over ice. Tell me about your coffee cocktails and what's going on here.
Yeah, so we, you know, coffee cocktails is another thing I think that has grown a lot, probably because of the espresso martini. And then bartenders probably just got tired of making that one, so they started making variations of it. I always joke that the espresso martini is the drink of our generation, and it's almost like the new vodka soda. Like, that's like the thing that keeps all these bars in business now. But
It's not the Cosmo.
Yeah, exactly. That was the yesteryear version. But it's like, but we have, you know, we added a section on the menu last year called coffee cocktails. Obviously, we're a coffee and a cocktail bar, so it made sense. And so we just added a fifth, but we had four for a while there. And the Carajillo in particular, that's a drink I actually learned about when I did a trip to Mexico City 3 summers ago. And we stayed in Roma Norte, right in the heart of the city. And kind of downstairs was this cool little just neighborhood cantina bar. And we'd go in there before we started our night and we'd get a drink. And they had this amazing happy hour. You get like buy one, get one Carajillo. And I've never heard about it. Whenever I travel, I always want to just try whatever the local drink is. So we got one, and they kind of make different versions, but essentially it's always liquor 43 and a shot of espresso shaken. Sometimes they can put tequila in it or mezcal, but we do the classic one. So just liquor 43, house espresso, you shake it vigorously to create like a really nice froth on it. And that drink is phenomenal. It's so simple and it's so good.
California girl that I am, I've had them in Mexico, so you know, mm-hmm. I just go to Intermezzo now. So the other trend is low ABV, no ABV, no alcohol. Yeah. And we talked with our brew guys, Sean and Matt from Mastery's. It's going on in craft beer, and you've got some amazing. Tell us about your non-alcoholic cocktails you've designed.
Yeah, we have a small menu, but we do three drinks, and we kind of rotate them out every couple months or so of NA drinks. But you know, we have the Chai Tai that we're actually about to take off because that was more of a cold weather cocktail, but we're replacing it with a really good matcha cocktail, mocktail, I should say, with like matcha, coconut, yuzu, and fresh lime. You know, so we have some non-alcoholic spirits, like Seed Lip is a really popular one. Ritual is another good one. So we try to fit those into cocktails for people. So, you know, we typically have on hand somewhere between 2 and 4 NA spirits at any given time. So, you know, if someone comes in, they can always just ask for an NA cocktail. We'll make one. Otherwise, we have a couple options on the menu. And that's a big trend. You're seeing that. I've been to restaurants and bars that have, you know, 10 non-alcoholic cocktails on the menu. So
absolutely, especially in New York now, that's a whole couture thing. So yeah, you know, the other two things that I think are trending, and you tell me if I'm right or wrong, is bourbon and rye. I can't even believe you even have the Asian mm-hmm. Bourbons that are going on. What's going on with bourbon and rye? Still popular?
Oh yeah, I mean, I think it's just here to stay forever. But yeah, ever since, again, it's kind of like a few years back, the old fashioned really became popular, probably because of Mad Men and that era and prohibition style cocktails, and bourbon just took off. And ever since then, it's been pretty much the fastest growing spirit. And I think tequila may have overtaken it, or mezcal may have overtaken it in recent years. But, you know, for Intermezzo, for example, we started out with a pretty decent selection of bourbons and ryes, but we're a cocktail bar. So everything was chosen with making cocktails in mind. And so like price point and all these types of things were, you know, specifically intentional to just make drinks with. And over the years, we just have had incredible demand for bourbons, and specifically bourbon. And so we've grown the selection, and now it's overtaking our shells. Like, it's just like a weed that grows through the shells. It's like we probably have like 40 different bourbons at this point. We're not a whiskey bar by any means, but we do have a really good selection. But
absolutely. And there's two other trends I want to talk to you about. You, of course, have always done vintage cocktails, the bee's knees, you know, dry gin, honey, lavender and lemon, mm-hmm. The old fashioned. You are fascinated by vintage cocktails. We've talked about this before.
Yeah. Yeah. I think, there's very few cocktails that are modern cocktails that I think are are really going to stick around. I mean, there's a few modern classics, they'll call them, like the Paper Plane, for example, has become just a modern classic. But you know, for the most part, all the best drinks have been made, and you could do slight variations on them. But, you know, the Sazerac, the Old Fashioned, the Tom Collins, you know, all these types of cocktails, the Bee's Knees, it's really hard to beat those. But you know, there's slight variations. Like, for example, the Bee's Knees is one of my favorites. We've had it on the menu since we've opened. And there's a modern classic called the Penicillin. And it's instead of gin, it's scotch. And then in addition to honey, there's ginger and then lemon. And then you shake that. And it's just absolutely delicious.
And that's why he's the coffee and cocktail curator. And speaking of coffee, a lot of Japanese influence on the coffee menu. You've got the Kyoto, the Japanese slow drip iced coffee.
Yeah.
Is lavender still trending? I know you have a honey lavender latte, one of my personal favorites, still in vogue?
Yeah, I would say it's still popular. I wouldn't say it's the most popular, but people do get it. But it's kind of like, I feel like lavender's, you either hate it or love it.
So what coffees are trending? Is it the drip coffee, the macchiato, or is it something I don't even know about?
Well,
the affogato?
You know what you're seeing the most of in coffee shops right now, funny enough, is not coffee, but matcha. Matcha has become incredibly popular. And so, you know, obviously people are still ordering lattes and cold brews and things like that. And there's plenty that's popular, but I'm always surprised at just how popular matcha has gotten.
Absolutely. You also have some other really unique things. I want to talk about your fascination with Italian cocktails.
Mm-hmm.
You have a Spuma Nera. I know you are Italian descent. Italian herbal soda. Was this something that Nona would have at the table?
Yeah. No, funny enough. So when I was in New York one time, I went to Italy and I was just perusing around and I found this soda and it had a beautiful label on it. And that's kind of what has drawn me to Italian liqueurs and stuff in the past. This isn't a liqueur, but you can tell it's inspired by that. So I popped it open and it tasted like an Amaro soda, but it's not alcoholic, of course. It's made by someone who makes beer in Italy called Balladin. And they have different variations of the soda, but this one, the Spuma Nera in particular, is my favorite. And it has like a cola quality to it. And we're probably one of the only people around here that sell that. It's, you know, I think people are discovering it, but it's, but it really is just like a hidden little gem.
And before we get to the events that are coming up, again, with Asian influence on not tea, not coffee, not cocktails, the Fever Tree Lime and Yuzu Soda. Yuzu is big in craft beers. Tell me what is the heck is going on with Yuzu?
Yeah, Yuzu has definitely, again, you know, with all these kind of Asian elements and stuff has popped up. I think, you know, it's like a more interesting, not a more interesting lime, but it's in that citrusy lemon, lime, orange kind of blend that works really good in cocktails and bitters and sodas. And so, you know, we always like to do things a little different. So it's like we take something normal and just tweak it a little bit. So instead of having Coke and Sprite, we have, you know, a particular type of cola, and then we have lime and yuzu soda as our Sprite. Just to, you know, when you come and you want your classic whatever, say it's a vodka Sprite or you want a cocktail, but, you know, this is something that's very similar, but just has a little bit more complexity to it.
So in addition to having just a delightful place to have coffee and cocktails, the Mezzo Market is St. Pete's largest monthly street market with boutique shops, vintage goods, handmade products, plants, food, drinks, and a live DJ. Next one is Saturday, May 11th. How long have you been doing this? 6 years, right?
Yeah, well, so we opened Intermezzo 7.5 years ago, I think, and I started the market. Technically, the market's only probably 3 or 4 years old, but I've done multiple markets before that, smaller ones, like 40, 50 vendors, but without a name. It was always just an event, you know, like our anniversary or whatever. But about 3 or 4 years ago, we decided just to kind of brand it and make it its own thing, and it kind of grew legs and grew into its own. So we, you know, call it the Mezzo Market, and we started out with 50, 60, 70 vendors, and then we've grown, and so now we're up to 100 and, you know, 40 vendors. And we kind of cap it at that size, though, because, you know, I really don't want it to be overwhelming for people. I want all the vendors to do well. I want people to be able to do a lap and not feel like it's too big, and they, you know, they get anxious or stressed out that it's too big. So we do it once a month usually, and around 140 vendors right on Baum Avenue.
So what's wonderful is if you're not at Intermezzo, you're at Green Branch Brewing. So this is the last one until summer, so May 11th. And what time does it go start at?
It starts at 11 and we end at 4.
That's wonderful. Yeah. Well, another great event is it's time for my hat. Da-da-da-da-da. Kentucky Derby. Tell us about May 4th. It's your 6th annual Kentucky Derby. It's formal.
Yeah, exactly. I always throw the formal in there just so people, you know, really, I love when people dress up and have a reason to go out to wear a nice suit or hat or dress or whatever. But yeah, this is our 6th year doing it. Love the Kentucky Derby. Love making proper mint juleps and, you know, Southern kind of inspired cocktails and that sort of thing. So, you know, we hired, I got an awesome 5-piece bluegrass style band that's coming in. We have, you know, local oyster, the local oyster oyster growers, Lost Coast, they're going to come and do a pop-up. And so they're going to be shucking. We got the music, got the cocktails. We'll project the derby on the wall. So it'll be a fun party. It's our 6th year doing it now.
4 to 8 o'clock. Do we need reservations or do we just show up?
Just show up.
And be sure to have your best hat. Mine is going to have little horses racing around
the
rise.
Love it.
You also, let's just not forget Christmas.
Yeah, of course. Miracle at Mezzo.
Tell us how Miracle at Mezzo started. Truly one of my holiday favorites.
I always joke around that we're actually a Christmas bar, but we do a pop-up called Intermezzo 10 months out of the year, because that's what a lot of people know us for. But we started, you know, Miracle's a franchise, technically, out of New York City, out of a really great cocktail bar and cocktail group. And, you know, they started, I don't know, 10 years ago now, maybe more, and they called me up like 5 or 6 years ago. And said, hey, we heard about you. We heard you guys are doing cool stuff in St. Pete. We're growing Miracle outside of New York, and we already have one in Florida. I think they had one in Orlando. And do you want to be a part of it? And I just was like, absolutely. And I was familiar with it already, and it was kind of a dream. So we did it, and we've grown it, and now it's just it's awesome. And, you know, I love it because we kind of bring a little Christmas spirit to the area, even before it gets cold or anything. It's like, even if it doesn't feel like Christmas necessarily, and, you know, obviously if you're in Florida, you know what I'm talking about, but you come in and we're playing the music and we got a snow machine and we're decked out, you know, and we have all the cocktails and all the great mugs and all the flavors and smells.
And holiday sing-alongs,
exactly.
Right?
Yeah, right,
my
exactly.
Favorite. And next year there'll be snow, right?
Yeah. Well, we, you know, 2 years ago we brought the snow machine and now we can never go back.
So Intermezzo Coffee and Cocktails is at my favorite address. I got to say this, 1111 Central Avenue in the Edge. It's open every morning at 8 o'clock, and it goes to various times. Mm-hmm. Like them on Facebook. You'll hear Jared Sabatini, cocktail and coffee curator, once a month. Jared, thank you so much for joining RadioSaintPete.com Insider.
Great. Thanks for having me.